Just this morning, someone was complaining to me about how much Christmas music we're singing this year. Last year, the complaints were, why don't we sing more Christmas carols? This is why at some point our music directors just do what they want. Oh Lord, she's already reaching for the Bible. This is a familiar story. This is Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In more fundamentalist churches, I've heard people say what they want in a sermon is line-by-line preaching. It's when the minister holds the Bible, and they all have their Bibles, and they go through a passage line by line. That's what you get today. Did you bring your Bibles? Actually, that's what we've been doing in this Advent series, going through the Christmas stories in detail to see what we can learn about ourselves. And in this opening passage from Luke, there's more about the census than about the birth of Jesus. There were censuses taken in those days for the purposes of taxation, which eventually led to revolt against Rome by the Jewish zealots. But the census that Luke seems to refer to actually took place several years after Jesus was born. It's a literary device to get the family to Bethlehem. As we've said so many times, factual accuracy was not a priority for these writers. They had a message to deliver. So the first important message here is that Joseph was descended from the house of David because the Messiah had to be in that line. David, you may remember, was Israel's greatest king, except for the unfortunate incident with Bathsheba and her husband. David's family was originally from Bethlehem. Hebrew scriptures prophesied the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. But we know Jesus grew up in Nazareth. So Luke used the census as a device to get to Bethlehem for the birth. In Matthew's version, Mary and Joseph live in Bethlehem when Jesus is born, and he uses another device to get them to Nazareth. That's next week. In Luke, which is the better known version, Joseph and the pregnant Mary travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It does not say Mary rode a donkey. It might be a safe assumption she didn't walk 70 miles while she was 9 months pregnant. Nazareth to Bethlehem is a little farther than walking from here to downtown San Antonio, over similar terrain. And I don't know, Mary was a brave and resourceful girl. But let's go back to what it says. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Every nativity scene in the world, every painting through the centuries, every Christmas pageant is based on those two sentences, plus the wise men from Matthew. The time came for her to deliver her child. It does not say that happened the night they arrived, only while they were there. They might have been in Bethlehem for days or weeks. She laid him in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. It might have had hay in it. The story does not say they were in a stable or a cave or that there was shelter of any kind or animals around them. Also notice there's no confrontation with a cold-hearted innkeeper who turns them away. It just says there was no room in the inn, and the word inn can be translated different ways. There were not hotels and motels along the roads of Israel back then. That's one reason hospitality was so important. Travelers were vulnerable, so people helped each other out. And If Bethlehem was really Joseph's hometown, he probably had relatives to stay with. But we said at the beginning of this series, we're not going to worry so much about factual details and just go with the stories as they're told to see what we can learn. It's important to know that in Unity's interpretation of the Bible, every person, place, or thing is a symbol for some aspect of you. The birth of Jesus represents the emergence of the divine in you. Every part of any story then takes on a personal meaning. So think about an inn, crowded with people of all kinds, speaking different languages, men and women, different backgrounds. Everybody's just passing through. It's a confused and temporary stopping place that carries a price. You pay to be there. Some of us have that crowd in our heads, and we pay for it. No way this tiny, fragile awareness of the divine could emerge in all that chaos. It needed to be a part in the quiet. Just as we often tap into the divine in us through silence or meditation. Especially at first, we might need solitude. So being outside of the inn was actually a blessing, and swaddling clothes were further protection. The name Bethlehem means house of bread, food, sustenance. This little family was nourished. For us, it means a consciousness of omnipresent substance, or call it the abundant universe, providing everything we need to sustain the emerging Christ in us, feeding our awakening to our divine essence. And the manger represents the same thing. It feeds animals. It's provision for us on our spiritual journey. And the birth of Jesus takes place as part of a journey. There has been life leading up to it, and now everything will be different. In us, our awareness changes in our understanding of ourselves, but that's not the end of our stories. Just becoming aware that you're an expression of God on the earth and you carry the same divine spirit Jesus did, just knowing that is not enough. Life goes on. We're always being called to live as spiritual beings in a human experience. There's much more to our stories after the initial awareness of our divinity. The journey continues. A child, a newborn baby, is pure potential, born by an act of God with a special purpose. And Jesus, the man, integrated everything human and divine to show us what it looks like. So his birth, for us, represents the beginning of an inner process or a journey that leads to wholeness. It's the activation of all parts of consciousness. Even though there's no innkeeper in the story, we need him. We had to invent a character for that role because we recognize that aspect of us that closes the door on a miracle. It's the part of us that fears any change, that doesn't really want the awareness of divinity because that brings power we don't know how to handle and responsibility to create our own lives. There's a part of us that wants to keep out this new awareness. Life is already busy and crowded enough. But more happened on the night Jesus was born. Luke goes on. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Interesting, there's much more description about the shepherds than the actual birth of Jesus. But one of the themes through the whole book of Luke is that Jesus came for everyone, not just the Jews. He came for the lowly, the outcast, the Gentiles, everyone. So Luke lets these scruffy shepherds be the first people to recognize the importance of this birth, to see the divine child. Scruffy, lowly, and outcast are parts of us too. And those aspects of us, more than any others, need to become aware of the divine within. Now, we know sheep do not typically stay in the fields and graze this time of year. They're in the fields spring, summer, and fall. We really don't know what time of year Jesus was born. I've heard August and September. The church chose December 25th to incorporate pagan winter festivals. So again, just go with the story. There were shepherds in the field. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them. We don't know whether it was Gabriel, who showed up earlier in Luke. And notice this angel stood before them. It doesn't say the angels were in the sky. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's the light, the awakening, the awareness of possibilities. And they were terrified. Aren't we all? When we realize who we truly are and what might be possible for us or required of us. And of course, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Shepherds were the first to be told the Messiah had been born. They were told how to recognize him, swaddled, lying in a manger, protected and provided for, just as we are. Then there was the heavenly host. It doesn't say the angels sang, but they praised God, and praise is often a song. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men is in the King James Version of the Bible. Our translation says, peace among those whom he favors, which would be everyone. And then the angels disappear. So imagine these shepherds. They've been looking at this bright light, hearing these angels tell them the Messiah has been born, and now it's suddenly dark and quiet again. And they look at each other and say, "Whoa. Did you see that? What was it they said? Let's go to Bethlehem and check this out." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. All who heard were amazed. Were more people around Mary and Joseph now? We don't know whether the shepherds arrived on the night Jesus was born or later. It's a story. The point is to find the shepherds in ourselves. Shepherds are guardians, but they're out in the darkness. In consciousness, that means unaware. And when they hear the news from the angels, they leave their sheep. They detach from possessions and duties to go seek the child, the truth, the infinite. They're excited about it. They're open to it. They don't stay there, though. They return to their ordinary lives with new awareness. And that's how new awareness always works. You might not be living in complete darkness, but there's always more to be revealed. And it's exciting to wake up a little more. And then back to the fields. Life goes on the same, but different. Notice these lowly, scruffy shepherds were the first to tell Mary her son was the Messiah. Gabriel had told her Jesus would be the Son of God, but here was confirmation from an outside human source, and Mary had to take it in again, the magnitude of what this meant, to ponder it in her heart. Just as we keep coming again to the awareness we are here as part of God. Angels, remember, are messengers of God. Most of us experience them as intuition, an inner knowing. Angels announced to the shepherds, there's a whole new aspect to life you haven't known before. Our intuition surprises us in the same way, letting us know there's more. Sometimes we call it divine discontent, that inner sense that there must be more to life than this. Our desires for more keep us moving forward, growing, evolving. So what have we seen in ourselves through this story? A lot in this little story. The spiritual life is a journey with moments of great discovery and ordinariness. The census accounts for all the material elements. It brings together all that needs to be in place. Then spiritual awareness emerges through us. Even while we're just going about our days fulfilling the requirements of our lives. We are descendants of greatness. We have a holy lineage. Everything that's gone before prepares us for the awakening of divine consciousness in us. We will be in the right place for it at the right time. Everything we need will be provided. We are swaddled in well-being, in divine love. As long as we don't turn away the miracle, aren't confused by the cacophony of voices in our heads, we step outside the chaos to find silence in which the higher self can emerge. No matter how lowly and scruffy we may feel, we are invited to know the Christ energy within us and to carry that awareness into our work and our lives. We see light in the darkness. We're spoken to by intuition. We hear the singing of our guides and angels. We're promised peace and goodwill in our human experience. This is not easy news to absorb. We continually have to ponder it. That's why we come back to this story every year. And we have to watch out for the distractions, all the internal enemies of divine awareness. We will meet the enemy next week. And yes, he is us. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we become still and quiet and relaxed. You might want to take a deep breath and exhale all the way down. Feel the chair supporting your body and the way the universe supports you. We see ourselves reflected in this Christmas story. We have seen the divine emerge through us, but we've also been distracted by our ordinary lives. We have heard guidance from what might be angels or intuition. And some of us have answered, let's go see. And so we learn at Christmas to be open to what's new and different and even scary. Do not be afraid. What has come is for your highest good. It's good news for all people. And what comes into your life when you allow it, when you step outside of the crowded in and open yourself, what comes is good news for you and everyone whose life you touch. And so for a moment, listen for the angels who attend you. Listen for the intuition that lets you know what's next and be open to it. This birth of the divine, this announcement from the angels, happened in the course of ordinary life, as it does for us. Our job is to remain open and to trust the good news. And so it is. Amen.